Blog Talk Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on approach. You want to join the conversation, gotta pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a clip. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. And when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Yeah, there you go. There's my crowd noise. I like that. Set it off and get it set off early. Get it popping. What's the deal, party people? It's Tuesday night. Once again, it's going down. You got the mayor in the building, G Palace. After further review, it's in your eardrum on your computer and all that. I be the mayor, man. 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation, man. I'm hyped to charge. I'm ready to get it popping. Expecting a couple of calls from a couple of good people today. Wanted to give my last State of the Union thing on the New York Knicks, man, before we get this thing popping. Look, they had a good season. You know, at the end of the day, they had a good season. A lot was put on Carmelo Anthony's shoulders. You know, I think a lot of people put the cart before the horse. They fell in love with that 7-0 and that 19-5 start, which was very surprising and very, very good. I'm proud of the Knicks. But at the end of the day, really, they had a team that wasn't really built for a playoff run, man. You know, no matter how you want to place the blame on J.R. Smith or Carmelo Anthony or Tyson Chandler or Jason Kidd, you know what I mean? Or even Mike Woodson for not playing, you know, Chris Copeland a lot. It is what it is. They went as far as they can go, man. You know what I mean? What was you really expecting in them playing in a 7-game series with Miami? After coming off what would have been a 7-game series with the Pacers, you know what I'm saying? So after they had another series with the Boston Celtics. So I don't think that, you know, this team was really, you know, championship material. Regardless that they won over 50 games, we don't have to worry about the lottery. And, you know, Carmelo had an MVP-type year and all of that. That's great. That's grand. We could use that to build. But I think, in my own humble opinion, that I think as far as the Knicks are concerned, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better because we're stuck with a lot of contracts. That we really, you know, are just kind of like, again, they're stuck like an albatross. We're stuck with them, you know. So, you know, hopefully that we can try to get somebody squeezing in there with that money that we have left for deals because it's going to get harder for the Knicks while everybody else gets better. And it was a watered-down Eastern Conference this season. A lot of people were hurt, you know what I mean? We won't go into that, but a lot of people were hurt. So, basically, they'll be back next year while the Knicks will just be status quo. So, again, that's why I said it'll get a lot worse before it gets better for the Knicks, man. 646-200-3838 is the math, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. You know what it is. Draft lottery is tonight. That's where they put the ping pong balls in the little thing, and they pick them out, and they choose the envelope of who gets the number one pick or whatever. Look, it's already been decided. You know what I'm saying? So you'll find out about 8:30 tonight with their little, you know, production or whatever thing that they have in regards to the NBA 2013 NBA draft lottery. The teams that are in the draft lottery this year, the Orlando Magic, Charlotte Bobcats, Cleveland Cavaliers, Phoenix Suns, New Orleans Pelicans, Sacramento Kings, Detroit Pistons, the Washington Wizards, Minnesota Timberwolves, Portland Trailblazers, Philadelphia 76ers, Toronto Raptors, Dallas Mavericks, and Utah Jazz. So those are the teams that are in the lottery. This seems like it's a lot of teams, right? You know, this is the year that you really, you know, don't really want the number one pick because there's really nothing out there that's screaming number one pick. There's a lot of good players out there. You got your Trey Burks, your Victor Oladipo, you know, guys like that. Hold on. Let me get my thing off first. Then I got the first caller on the line. Ziggy, I got you, my dude. Hold on. So you got a bunch of other cats that's in the that's eligible. You got Nerlens Noel out of Kentucky, Trey Burke out of Michigan, Michael Carter Williams out of Syracuse. A lot of these kids really shouldn't come out, if you ask me. But nobody's asking me. So, Ziggy, what's good, man? Welcome to the bigger show, man. Hello?
Hello.
Anyway, yeah, what's good? Welcome to the bigger show. What's good?
First, I want to give a shout-out to Maria Wings.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yes,
you said that last week, too, man. Shout-out to you, man. Respect due to you. You said that. You know,
yeah.
The Blackhawks, all that 21-0 and all that craziness, man. Seemed like they picked the wrong time of the year to run out of gas. Detroit is showing up, man. But we haven't heard from Patrick Kane yet. You know what I mean? We haven't heard from Jonathan Toews. You know what I mean? And Jimmy, like you said it last week. Jimmy Howard has to stand on his head. And if you get Jimmy Howard in a series and he can stand on his head, they're up 2-1 now. You know? So they're doing their thing. Yes, sir. Respect to your Detroit Red Wings, man.
Yeah, I want to talk about this draft, though. This draft, this draft is no good. I mean, like you said, a lot of these kids shouldn't even be coming out.
Yeah,
that's why the
right.
NBA is so watered down right now.
Yes, sir. So who do you think that is gonna get the light? Like, it really, really matters. You know what I'm saying?
It really doesn't matter.
It really, really don't matter, to tell the truth. But, you know, and things like this, to me, it's kind of like putting the cart before the horse. And like we just got you talking about, these kids shouldn't have came out of school in the first place. But now you know what they're doing? They're glamorizing it, and they're glorifying it. Like, look, this could be you. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's, you know, where are you going? You know, their future's, you know, in these envelopes and all that. That's a bunch of, come on, yo. You know, and like you said, it waters down the product. You know, what are you trying to do? You want them to stay in school or you don't want them to stay in school? Which one is it? You can't have it both ways. But you know what? At the end of the day, David Stern don't really care because he's on his way out in the first place.
Yep.
You know, so, again, like, you know, what are your feelings about the draft? You said you wanted to talk about it. What's your feelings about it?
I'm watching it because I'm in the sports. But as far as it doesn't, like I said, it don't even matter if who we get, who the pick
right.
we get, because hey, they got to put it on the floor anyway. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It ain't about paper. You might turn around and get a Greg Oden. You know, like a Greg Oden came out one, and he's been the biggest.
Yeah, still waiting for him.
The last 5 years.
That's
so.
Right. You're right. That's right. Still waiting for him. Yeah. I mean, again, you know, it's the draft has turned into. I mean, there's some years you get this. Some years where it's basically based on potential instead of like you said. There's a number one that screams number one. Everybody knows who the number one pick is going to be. Some years, everybody knows who the top two picks are going to be. But this year, I mean, like you said, this draft is no good. Your first thing you said, the draft is no good. And I definitely concur with that. You know what I mean? There's nobody that stands out. And like you said, they all could use another year of seasoning. It wouldn't have hurt them. It wouldn't have hurt them at all.
Speaking of your Knicks, Jim Boeheim.
Yeah. Talk about
it. I see you taking up for his main man. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
In regards to what?
Yeah, as far as did you hear what he said when he said that Bello didn't get no help?
Oh, Coach Boeheim? Yeah,
yes,
Coach Boeheim was going to say that. He's going to say that. But like you said, he wasn't. Where was he? He must have turned the TV off because game four, you know, and Carmelo didn't show up.
Well, like he said,
But he's going to defend his man. That's his man. You know.
But then. Woodson said that Tyson Chandler was hurt, and he had back problems, and he was sick, and he lost 15 pounds, and he lost his strength, you know, so, hey.
Now, I'll buy that lost the strength one. I'll buy that.
Yeah, because he wouldn't even jump half the time.
Yeah,
he wouldn't even jumping off the floor.
Roy Hibbert was using Tyson Chandler, man.
Yeah.
I ain't said that word in years. He was using Tyson Chandler. And again, like you said, you know, My Knicks went down, and what was really expected from them? That's all I'm saying, man. It wasn't like we was going to really challenge Miami, you know what I mean? Because, like, when everybody was on the 7-0 band, I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm surprised, but we'll see what happens at the end of the season. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the season, we got the second in the Eastern Conference. We won the division. That's fine, well and good. You know what I mean? But my thing, Ziggy, it goes back to the Celtics series, my dude. I think if we would have, you know, if we would have swept Boston, that would have gave us a little, you know, impetus to be like, okay, we moved on to the next series. We got rid of Boston. We took care of a lot of business. But for you to, you know, do, you know, and I'm speaking about J.R. Smith, but J.R. Smith to throw the elbow at Jason Terry, us to lose game four, and then for him to add insult to injury and say, well, if I was playing in game four, we would have won. Well, if you would have threw the elbow, and then I get a lot of, you know, flack for people saying that wasn't a foul. That surely was a foul. Are you serious? So, go ahead.
It was intentional. It was intentional foul.
Yeah, man. So you have to think sometimes, my dude. We, you know, and I think to me, in my own personal opinion, I think that was the kind of like the beginning of the end. You know what I mean? Because now we had to scramble to win one game. We had three in the bag, my dude. Now we had to scramble to win one game. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of like threw everything in the health and skelter type situation. We knew what was coming next, but everybody was talking Indiana next. Some people was talking Miami. You don't look that far ahead with this type of team. The only team you could look this far ahead is Miami. Everybody knows who's going to end up in the finals from the East. It's Miami. Now, talking about the Knicks again, you know, we get what we get, my dude. You know, I didn't fall for the okie doke last year with Jeremy Lin. I didn't fall for the okie doke this year because I realized what we had. We had a highly experienced team. I won't say veteran. I won't say old. I'll just say highly experienced. And a lot of them had aches and pains. You know, Rashid, he couldn't finish the season. You know, Marcus Camby, he was in and out. You know what I'm saying? So what are we really doing? But we're tied up with those dudes, man. We're tied up with a couple of them contracts for years, my dude.
Y'all had guys on y'all list that was filling out their bucket list.
Yeah. You know, real talk. That's one way you could look at it. You know, so, I mean, you know, as far as, you know, being a, you know, Knicks fan or whatever, it's hard. Because, you know, you go through the ups and downs with them. You know, every time you win a game, it's like, you know, it's cause for celebration because, you know, the wins come few and far between. We're a couple of steps removed from Detroit Pistons, to tell you the truth. I'm just keeping it funky. We made the playoffs, so what? That's all I'm saying. You know?
Jason Kidd needs to go on here and sit down because he brings nothing to the table.
Yeah.
It's done for him.
Yeah. You know, I'm not looking forward to him coming back. I'm kind of not looking forward to J.R. Smith coming back. I could do without J.R. Smith. You could have him. Real talk, you could have J.R. Smith. Because a lot of J.R. Smith was just like, okay, I'm going to shoot until I get hot. I don't care if I miss 11 shots in a row. I'm going to shoot until I get hot. And then when I get hot, I'll make three or four in a row. And then everybody will forget about the 10 I just missed. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and everything got to be so dramatic and fly going to the rim. Just take it to the rim, man, and finish. That's all you need to do. All this dramatic with the arms and all this sound. But, you know, come on, yo. I don't need that. Especially if you're not going to finish. So, you know, that's that. Man, I just said, man, we just going to be in this state for the next couple of years, man, because we locked into a lot of, I'll just call it what it is, bad contracts right now. You know? So, I, you know, as a Knicks fan, I take the bitter with the sweet, you know, and that's all I can say to that. But again, the draft is coming on in a few minutes, man, and I just figure like a lot of teams are sitting around just kind of waiting to get this thing over with because there's nothing really out there. And whoever gets the number one pick, you think they're going to jump up in the air like Dave DeBuscher did when they got Patrick Ewing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just asking, is this that type of draft? And you ask little simple questions like that. Who out there in this draft has really got your mouth watery like, wow, I wish he was around when the Pistons pick, or, you know what I'm saying? That type of scenario. It's nobody.
Nobody.
Who do you even consider the top player in this draft? If we just had, you know, say gun to your head, who would you say is the top player in this draft?
Oh, man. Ben McLemore.
Oh, that's my, I like Ben McLemore. I think Ben McLemore should have stayed in Kansas, but that's neither here nor there right now, and I think he is the best player in this draft. You know, I think Otto Porter is the best all-around player in the draft. But if I had a choice between Ben McLemore and Otto Porter, I'd take Ben McLemore because I could see Ben McLemore playing in an All-Star game in about 3 years. You know what I mean? So if he flourishes and does what he's supposed to do and comes to camp and does his numbers and all of that, I could see him doing some nice things. And maybe if Charlotte picks him up and him and what's my man, the point guard for Charlotte? His name's escaping me right now. And I was just thinking about him too. The point guard for Charlotte from UConn. You know who I'm talking about too. As soon as I say his name, you're gonna be like, "Yep, that's him." Oh damn! But anyway, yeah, man. So yeah, Ben McLemore is that dude, man, and I think that again, in the situation with him in school and people, you know, paying off the AAU coach, that's another situation that I think that, you know, didn't really get, you know, looked at the way it should have, and it's gonna be questions about that, you know. Kemba Walker is what we're talking about. So I think, yeah, a backcourt of Kemba Walker and Ben McLemore? Ooh, okay. That might be a nice, I don't know, Michael Jordan. You think Michael Jordan will go for that?
I don't even trust Mike. Hey, I love him as a basketball player. I love him as a basketball player. As a GM, he needs somebody. Hey, he can just be the face of the franchise. As far as making moves, nah.
Yeah, he needs
like he just lost all his equilibrium. Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the Matt Millen of the NBA. No disrespect. No doubt, man. So, yeah, we here, man. GQ Palace is in the building, man. After further review, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. I'm expecting a call from one of my mans in a little while. We could talk some Yankee baseball or whatever. But, yeah, man. Yeah, they'll have a real young team if they got Ben McFarlane. They'll have Kid Gilchrist, the kid Biyombo that's in the middle, Josh McRoberts, and the backcourt will be Kemba Walker and Ben McFarlane. Gerald Henderson will have to slide to the bench.
Yep. Hey,
yeah, but
no,
Michael Jordan. Go ahead.
If I was Mitch Kupchak, White can walk all and be all he wants to because he's just a he's too much of a cancer in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
He cried too much, and for him to be a superstar, as soon as his weight get on his shoulders get a little heavy, he goes to crying and pout.
Right.
And 6'10", 7, mm-hmm. 7-footer playing like he's 6'4", 6'5",
right.
Always bringing the ball down to guard level.
Right.
So he gets stripped, making it
heavy. Right, that's right.
Making moves harder than what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have no footwork.
Right.
And then when the referee have a bad call, first of all, I don't even know why you sitting here arguing with the referee, because the move you're making, you look funny doing it.
In the first place,
you look like you're stepping. So when the referee say something, here you is arguing with him, and back down court, it's a 5-on-3.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, he's a perfect example of one of those dudes that they, you know, they dying for it to win so they could get that, you know, I won. I got my ring. I got mine. But it takes a lot more than just saying you want to do it. Everybody would have a ring if they played the game on paper. Everybody. But they don't play the game on paper. And you've been gotten enough leeway and enough rope, Dwight Howard, you know, to hang yourself, my dude. Nobody's really checking for you like that. You know, everybody, well, he used to do this and he went to the finals, but that was back then. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You had the perfect opportunity.
His game has not evolved since then.
Since then? His game is not improved one iota since then. And that's what we're talking about. You know, you can have all, miss me with all of that, he went to the finals. Did he win a game in the finals?
All the numbers.
No.
People throwing numbers off.
So what does that mean? You wasn't even there. You just showed up.
20-13, okay. But where's he at in the fourth, you know?
Where's he at?
He at in the fourth? And where he at when you need a bucket? You can't even you can't even put him on the floor because he can't shoot free throws.
Yeah, there you go. So his game is, to quote a term, very suspect. So I just think that, you know, Dwight Howard is one of those dudes that I can, you know, take him or leave him. I don't really, you know, care. I won't be missing him if I don't have Dwight Howard.
You got cats out here that defended him like, my goodness,
yeah,
like he is the next coming
Yeah.
Like he is the next coming of Wilt Chamberlain.
And when they say that though, I say, you know what I say to that? He should have been here already. If he's the next coming of Wilt Chamberlain, he should have been here already. Wilt Chamberlain would have been here already. So all that you're talking on potential, my dude. It's not, and that's fine. If that's how you see it, that's fine. We'll still wake me up when that goes down. Because,
and
you know, we can see.
Don't tell me my eyes are not seeing what my eyes are seeing.
That's right.
So, you know.
That's right.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
people take it like you stole their lunch or something.
Man, listen, and to me it's just like it's a lot deeper than, you know, wins and losses and who got this and who got that and who said this and who that. The proof is in the pudding, man. You know, and I think I brought it up last week or a couple of weeks ago. You know, all these people that, you know, say they're going to win championships and they act like they're going to win the championships, how many rings do they really have? They don't have none. They got a lot of endorsement deals. They got a lot of reality shows, but they don't got no rings. And to me, you know, I don't know why the importance has been taken away from that. If you're a championship pedigree person, you should have championships. Don't tell me about you got close and you went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row and lost. Nobody wants to see hear that. But they will remember who lost the Super Bowl 4 years in a row, because who else been to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row and lost besides Buffalo Bills? That's why. That's how you want to be remembered, and so be it. But, yeah, again, a lot of people put, you know, they base it on potential and what he might do and what he probably going to do. Nah. Let's talk about what we've seen already. Well, he was hurt. Well, if he was hurt, what was he doing out there? Derrick Rose is hurt. He ain't coming back until he know he right. So what's wrong with Dwight Howard? Who you trying to front for?
That's a
if you
whole,
hurt.
B-Rose. That's on the whole double level. Don't even come out and practice. If you're going to be like that, just sit on the couch.
Just sit on the couch. You did that on the Ellen show, so you know it ain't like you don't know how to do it. So, yeah, man, I just feel like, a lot of these cats, man, you know, they throw this money at them and they sign these big deals and they think that the mission is completed. They got the, you know, they buy their moms a crib and they buy 12 cars and they think the mission is completed. That's fine, well, and good. You're the highest paid and you got this, you got that, but where is your respect in the game at? A dude like Greg Oden, he was supposed to be a beast coming out of Ohio State. Then all of a sudden he got hurt. Just a name.
Bill Walton.
You know? And then you look at a cat like Mike Conley. That was at Ohio State. You know, and he's progressing. He's a cat that you watch in the league. He's been in the league a couple years. You know what I'm saying? And he's not like one of your top point guards that come to mind, but he's no slouch either. So I've got to give respect to a dude like Mike Conley. At least he's, you know, doing his numbers, man. You know what I mean? But Greg Oden, he ain't show up yet. They talk about he was down in Florida somewhere working out, and he looked like he's a beast. Okay. That's all I need to know about that. But, yeah, man, the draft is going down in a few minutes, man. I'm thinking something wild might happen, man. I don't know. Just gun to my head, I was thinking maybe Charlotte to get the first pick, maybe Cleveland to get the first pick. But it's really not important, you know. It's just something to fill up a half hour of TV time like LeBron did with the decision. That's how I look at it. It's just to fill up a half hour of TV time, just like LeBron with his world-famous decision. So that's that right there. So, yeah, man, so who do you think gonna win tonight, man, Memphis or San Antonio?
Oh, my goodness. I don't have a horse in this race, so.
Okay.
I just want to see a good basketball game. I know I just don't want to see another blowout.
Hmm.
That I do not. That I want Memphis to at least punch back.
Right.
Zach, I would like for Zach to be the bully that he's supposed to be. Be Debo. And hey, it is what it is.
If Kawhi Leonard gets another 19, 20 points, then Memphis
win
might
go
home. Yeah, Memphis gonna go back home down 2-0. But yeah, man, it's crazy. This Western Conference Final, man, and nobody talked about the Spurs, man. It was kind of like the old school cats was laying in the cut. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was
just handling
high,
their business, going about handling their business. You know, And even though early in the season when David Stern was trying to, you know, play Greg Popovich out, you know, for resting people and things of that nature, Popovich knows what he's doing. You know, he knows that Tim Duncan is not going to play 82 games. It's a grind. He's 37 years old. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm going to sit you for – I'm going to sit you this game, this game. You know, and the people that pay their tickets, and I get all of that. But wouldn't it be the same difference if Tim Duncan was hurt?
But the reason why he did that, well, the reason why David Stern got mad was because it was a national televised game, TNT against the world champs. And, you know, by basketball, being the face, being a superstar type of league, and being so close to the ground, Stearns was telling, saying, "Pop, I'm gonna slap you on the hand. How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
How dare you? How dare you stand me up like this? Don't you realize TNT in the building?
You know how much commercial time I sold for this game?
Yes, sir.
Are you out your mind? Yeah, I hear you, but I you know." But would you rather have them play? I mean, I know that, like you said, it's national TV, it's against the Heat and all that. You know what I mean? But, I mean, is Stern happier now that they're available and healthy for this playoff game, Western Conference Finals? And would he rather them be in the next couple of weeks playing in the NBA Finals? Or just, you know, one game that he missed out of the season, out of an 82-game season, which he was going to miss anyway. He was going to miss one anyway. So it just happened to be that one.
Well, and it kind of messed it up when his beloved golden child got swept. That didn't make it no better, so that made that game even stand out even more with L.A. getting swept in Oklahoma out of the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, all the teams that, you know, people were talking about in the beginning of the season, Oklahoma City, Houston Rockets, you know what I mean? And then especially, you know, after the trade went down, it's supposed to be in Houston, and, you know, Golden State came out of nowhere, you know what I mean? And again, after the smoke clears, the familiar faces are still there, you know? San Antonio's still standing after all the smoke clears, after all the hubbub, the 82-game season, and everybody goes to their highs and lows, and people get swept, and this and that happens. Who's still there? San Antonio is still there. And Memphis is rocking with them. But like you said, hopefully that, you know, Memphis can give a good, you know, representation of themselves and make it a good series going back to Memphis. What's up with your man Justin Verlander, yo?
Well, he had the last couple of starts been shaky. Hey,
shaky?
I don't mind.
Seismic. Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
You gotta have some hard times. See how you come back. It's still early. It's only May 21st. A lot of baseball left to be played.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and usually like around Memorial Day, you know, it's kind of like one of the first, you know, indications of who's doing what in the season. You have Memorial Day, then you have the 4th of July, you know what I mean? Then you have like, you know, September 1st. So, yeah, like you said, it is a long season, but, you know, trends do get established early in the season. And I'm hoping that, you know, Verlander, you know, can find himself, you know, because it's good to have, you know, Justin Verlander be one of those dudes, you know what I mean? And I think that he you know, like you said, he goes through it. Everybody goes through it. You know, he makes 33 starts a year. You know what I mean? You're down to, you know, a couple of them you're going to, you know, turn into a couple of clunkers. But right now, to me, the top pitchers in the American League, my man Yu Darvish from Texas Rangers is doing his numbers, 7-1, and Matt Moore from Tampa Bay is 8-0. So it's a lot of, you know, the pitcher that's, you know, coming back to the forefront, and a lot of pitchers are doing their thing, you know, and Justin Verlander is one of them. But like you said, his last couple of starts, you know, it is what it is. He'll get past it. The Tigers will be there. How you feeling about your Tigers right now anyway?
Well, I'm kind of disappointed, you know. We ain't that far behind, but I'm kind of disappointed that they have not put their arms around the division yet.
Right.
But they're not gonna let Cleveland get that far ahead.
Well,
matter of fact, it's a 3-game series starting tonight. So time to take care of our own business to get back to our own business.
Yeah.
Get back on top.
That's right, and bottom of the 5th, Indians 1, Tigers nothing.
Yep.
So I just think, like you said, last year, you know, you went through it with the White Sox, you know what I mean? And you know, you finished on top at the end. And, you know, I don't know what's going on with the White Sox this year. They just kind of snuck up on everybody last year. But, again, the truth is coming out. And this year you got the Indians to contend with. You know, and like you said, this season is still early. You know what I mean? And it'll be, you know, topsy-turvy by the time, you know, September rolls around. But, yeah, I'm really pleasantly surprised at my Yankees, man. You know, I don't know how they're doing it. Everybody must have went to go see the Wizard at the same time. But, again, it's a long season. You know? And hopefully we'll get A-Rod back sometime in the near future. You know, Grandison came back last week, you know what I mean? And the team in the AL East that's falling off, besides Toronto, they you know, shot themselves in the foot. The Orioles, man, they lost six in a row, you know, and that didn't happen to them last year. So again, you know, don't know what it is right now with the teams that's really trying to find themselves still, or, you know, is it a thing where, you know, this is how this season is going to play out? You know, are the Angels going to finish under 500? You know, is the Houston Astros going to lose 120 games? You know, how many games is Toronto going to finish at 500? You know, and then in the National League, Atlanta was starting off crazy, and now they're 26-18, and they only 500 on the road. You know, and you know, you got the usual suspects in the National League. St. Louis, you know, doing their numbers. San Francisco's hanging around. You know, no really surprise teams in the National League, man. Nobody's just standing out. You want to have faith in the Pirates, but they always let you down. Like late August, September, they always go into a tailspin and let you down. But the Dodgers, you know, you're talking about getting rid of Don Mattingly, which I think is bad business. You know, they put that undue pressure on themselves, spending all that money, getting all these guys, Carl Crawford, Gonzalez, Beckett, and all that. They signed Greinke to all that money, and you know they're not getting no return on their investment right now. You know, but I don't think that they should fire Don Mattingly. You know,
speaking
who are
of the head man gone.
Go ahead.
Clippers, bye bye.
With Del Negro?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. They I mean, you know, they had the perfect excuse, man. They didn't, you know, you went out like with a whimper, and with the team that you had, you should be, you know, one of them teams playing in the Western Conference Finals. Who do you think that the Clippers should replace Del Negro with?
Doc
Rivers?
Yes, sir.
Now he got to get out of Boston first, don't he?
Yeah, Boston talking about letting him out of his contract.
Yeah, that'd be a good look. I was thinking maybe I didn't look at like that. I was thinking Byron Scott.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. Better than one of these retreads.
right. That's right. You know, but the Clippers, man, they have a team, and you know they get the right person that's gonna listen. You know, that they're going to respond to, you know what I mean? And they say that, you know, Byron Scott is real cool with Chris Paul. So, you know, that might be a situation that, you know, looks as if nobody was responding to Del Negro, man. So, you know, they had to do what he had to do. But you know what? Donald Sterling, man, he's going to be the fly in the ointment for that one, because you know he ain't paying no money for no, you know, he ain't paying no real money for no live coach like that, you know? So
if you want to be the big brother, you have to come to that realization, right?
That's right. You have to come to that realization, man, that you got to spend to win, man. And again, like you say, you're in the big market. You got the people right across the hall from you. You know that you're trying to knock off. You know, and if you scam money, you don't make no money. So you know, if you really want to get over that hump and you want to be the team in L.A., then you gotta, you know, spend like you want to be the team in LA. You know, but yeah, man. So I just figured that, you know, a lot of things are gonna, you know, go on, and you know, the off season is getting ready to start. So we get ready to start the summer leagues, get ready to pop off. No season has an off season anymore, man. You know, so as soon as, you know, the finals are over, everybody's going to be ready for the summer league to start in 2 weeks after this NBA season is over. You know, and then you'll be like going OTAs just popped off for football. So, you know, it's 24/7 with everything, man. Watching this NBA draft lottery right now, man. Who y'all got representing y'all at the lottery? You know?
Nah, I don't know yet.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, man. I don't see nobody that stands out. A lot of these kids should have stayed in school, man. That's why I really, you know, kind of like looking at them sideways, like, what are you doing? You know? Yeah, and they try to convince us that these kids are the truth and that these kids are all that. But like you said, it's the eye test. What do you see that stands out and says, okay, he's head and shoulders above everybody? Nobody, nothing. There's nothing out there. Nobody. So hopefully you can find a Damian Lillard. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully you can, you know, get a diamond in the rough. And look up and get you somebody that's going to hold your franchise down for the next 8 to 10 years. Or if you could keep them there for that long. Because no, who stays with that team anymore past 5 or 6 years? You know? Because if they're not ready to renegotiate their contract, they're ready to be a free agent. So, you know, either if you got the money or you got a winning situation going on, you got to be attracted to these cats, man. Or it's just going to be a revolving door. You're going to sign this free agent this year, you sign another free agent next year, and, you know, if you make the playoffs, so be it. If you don't, it's always a lottery. So, yeah, man, it's about to go down, man. And it's just, like I said, it's just something to fill up some TV time. You know, they'll say so-and-so got the number one pick in the draft, and they'll figure it out, and, you know, they'll go from there. I love to be in one of those war rooms, man, on draft night. Like, what are we going to do? Who are we going to take? You know? And then you have to really, you know, figure out, you know, money situation, and, you know, then you have to figure out, okay, they signed Nerlens Noel or whatever, and they got to get, you know, get him some protein and some meat on his bones. You know what I mean?
206 soaking wet.
Yeah, 206. Like, whoa, that's broomstick material right there. You're like 9 feet tall, weighing 206. Come on, yo. Yeah, but you got San Francisco and Houston. You got the Super Bowl bids for Super Bowl 50 and Super Bowl 51. Hold on, we got a call online. We got Mike on the line. Mike, what's good? Welcome to the bigger show. Mike, what's good? Welcome to the bigger show.
What's going on, man? What's going on? I ain't been on in a minute.
Is this missing in action, Mike?
Yeah, man. You know, I was rooting for my Knicks, and, you know.
Okay. All right. You want to give your last will and testament for the Knicks? The floor is yours, man. You ain't been here in a minute, man. Same thing going on. The floor is yours, man. How did you like your team's finish?
I'm saying I wasn't crazy about it. But, you know what it really was to me? At the end, I felt like Carmelo wasn't putting his all in it. They could have won that last game. They could have made that last game. At the end, Carmelo wasn't putting his all in it. But then JR, he got the nerve to talk about he want to switch. He don't want to be a Knicks no more.
Well, you know.
Yeah, he got a lot of nerve, man. He got a lot of nerve.
You know?
He was looking like John Starks the other night. I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, come on, yo.
But he wants to chase the money. He wants to chase the money, you know what I mean? And we don't need that. You know?
So who you think it's going to boil down to?
In the finals?
Yeah.
Me personally, I would like to see Miami and San Antonio. I think that would be that would add some flair to it. You know, the true school cats going against the new cats and all of that. You know what I mean?
You think
Timmy can get him another
LeBron
ring.
If it
huh?
You think they're going to put Duncan on LeBron if it happens?
Duncan on LeBron? No.
Huh?
They wouldn't. Well, nah, they wouldn't put Duncan on LeBron.
Who's laughing in the background? Who's laughing in the background?
Oh, that's my man Ziggy representing the mighty state of Michigan. My man Carl on the call, and he's a hard body karate fan. You know what I mean? He represents his Detroit situation real hard body like that. That's my man Ziggy in the building. But yeah, man, I don't think that Duncan would be on LeBron.
I don't think that's why.
Don't sleep
Pop,
on
Pop
sleep
not
on
gonna
Duncan
do that. Pop got too many
now.
Defensive. Pop got too many defensive stoppers to put.
Yeah.
I mean, but don't sleep on Duncan. LeBron is a bad boy, but don't sleep on Duncan because he's a little old now.
No, it's not that. It's that Duncan plays closer to the basket. You see? Duncan plays down lower, close down closer to the basket, and LeBron is at the top. So you have to
go ahead, man.
You have to get like a somebody that's a little bit more active, And if LeBron on the drive to the hole now, Tim Duncan to be right there to deal with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but as far as like putting Duncan on LeBron as a defensive assignment, I don't think that's not a good idea. I don't think.
No,
because LeBron will run Duncan. Duncan the first 2 minutes, Duncan to be wore out. So you have to put somebody on, somebody that's going to be able to bump with LeBron and be able to, be in LeBron's face or be in his chest and be up in him when he has the basketball. So Ziggy, in your opinion, who do you think that would be on San Antonio that could really, maybe put some pressure on LeBron, like a Kawhi Leonard or somebody like that?
Somebody like
active
him.
Body. Mm-hmm.
Active body. Somebody that plays around the perimeter.
Right.
Let Duncan stay where he at down low. You're already using too much responsibility on him. You'll wear Duncan out.
Yeah. You have to get somebody like say for example, Mike. If LeBron gets past, Kawhi Leonard, then Duncan will be right there to block the shot. You know what I'm saying? But if you have Duncan chasing LeBron around the court, that's not gonna work.
That's not even feasible.
Yeah. So you have to put somebody that's a little bit more active and that can kind of like put some pressure on LeBron. You know what I'm saying? And then you have the fouls to waste too. You don't want to waste them fouls. With Tim Duncan chasing LeBron around. So because you need Tim Duncan on the floor at the end of the game.
So that's why you
wouldn't really want to have him chasing because you know how touchy they are about LeBron. You breathe on LeBron wrong, that's a foul. So you don't want to have Duncan with early foul trouble.
So put a guy like
Kawhi Leonard or somebody on him like that'd be able to chase him around and stuff like that. But I think that'd be a hell of a series, man. And remember San Antonio beat LeBron when he was with Cleveland.
That was the worst final I ever saw. I'm talking about looking at it. It just didn't have no star appeal to it at all.
Oh, did you just say that was the worst finals you ever saw in your life?
Yes.
Yes, emphatically yes. Yeah, man. And it's like a situation where, people always say, LeBron didn't have a team in Cleveland and LeBron didn't have this in Cleveland. LeBron went to the finals of Cleveland. And the teams that he had after that team was better. I never really understood and never really let people talk to me in no kind of way and try to convince me that the best thing for LeBron to do was to leave Cleveland because they were trying to build a team. And it was his right now, don't get it twisted. It was his prerogative as a free agent that he could explore his options and do what's best for him. I'm not mad at that. But what I was mad at was people saying he wasn't never going to win in Cleveland. Did he go to the finals? So how come people never talk about this? This is why I can't really have conversations with people who don't know what they're talking about.
That's why it's good to have conversations with people that don't know what they're talking about, so you can enlighten them.
They don't like to be enlightened. They want to go somewhere else with it, and they don't really want to do that. And all I'm saying is he was in the finals already. So what's the big deal? But, some of these, these people just creature of habit or they just like the new thing. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But, again, the Miami-San Antonio final I think would be a compelling final. A lot of people, would probably be into it, for the simple fact that, LeBron and played Tim Duncan before in the finals and this might be San Antonio's last go-round and, Tony Parker and his good matchups all over the court. That series has very good matchups, So I think that, if it's to be a Miami and Memphis final, that, people would know what it is going in. It'd probably be 4-1, 4-0, Miami going to try to run them out the gym. But that I don't see that happening with Miami and San Antonio because, of course, San Antonio going to slow the game down. And that's where the matchups and the X and O's and the strategy comes in because San Antonio is not a run and gun team. their plotting team. They're going to, you know, work their sets. Miami want to get the rebound and run. You know what I mean? So you got two different styles right there. So what's been going on with you, man? Where you been?
Man, I just been running around.
I hear you.
Trying to take it one day at a time.
Yes,
watching
sir.
Watching the Knicks, getting upset, then getting happy, then getting upset.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
You
That's
know,
right.
So I was like, God damn.
But
you know, I'm a team of the Knicks fan.
But again, man, all you can do at this point is be a Knicks fan. That's all you could do, man, at this point is be a Knicks fan and take the good with the bad, the bitter with the sweet. I think at the end of the day they had a good season. I won't say great season. They had a good season. You know? They went as far as they could go. You know? And I think it's gonna get worse before it gets better. I said that earlier and I'm gonna say it again. You know, I think it's going because they're stuck with a lot of contracts, a lot of bad deals. I'm gonna say it.
Well, see, the only thing wrong with New York, man.
We're stuck with these deals.
New York got people. The Knicks have guys on their team that do one thing good. They don't do a whole lot of things outside of that one thing better than that.
Right.
Okay. So like when Tyson Chandler, he's good for banging. And when he was getting dogged out and pumped out.
Oh yeah, he was.
It shows because he don't have nothing else besides that banging behind his game. J.R. Smith, when his shot wouldn't go, he couldn't give you nothing else. He didn't bring nothing else to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Kidd, outside of him throwing some dimes, and he really ain't setting the table no more. He scored points last month. What is he even in there for? He's not giving you anything.
I don't know, man. I just think that, you know, we got stuck with what we got stuck with, you know, and the trades that we made, the acquisitions that we made. You know, now we get ready to pay the piper now because we still got to, you know, hit off some teams for Tyson Chandler trade. We got to hit off a team for Carmelo Anthony trade. We got to hit off a team for the Raymond Felton trade. So we still owing people. We got to get out of that, man. I don't know what James Dolan and them doing, man. I don't know they was doing, but all this goes back. So, you know, we're paying the piper right now. So we're going to be down for a couple more years, I just think, in my opinion. You know, and again, you know, we went to the playoffs last year. We won one playoff game. They had all the stuff come out the ceiling like we won the title. I was mad at that. Okay? Then, you know, we got off to a great start this season. You know what I mean? 19-5, you know, Carmelo MVP type year, whatever. And we took it as far as we can go, you know, because, you know, Rashid got hurt, Marcus Camby got hurt, Jason Kidd got hurt, Carmelo missed the part of the season, you know what I mean? Amari Stoudemire showed the lit. It goes on and on and on, so it wasn't really ever right, you know what I mean? But we worked with what we could work with.
You know, I think Carmelo was just throwing stuff up at some point. I think they paid him a little extra on some of those games. I really do because.
Why you feel that way?
I was looking at some of his shots. I'm like, oh, he's throwing these $4
shots. Carmelo's a volume shooter, my dude. Anybody that takes a hundred shots in three games.
Listen, some of those shots he was taking was not like, you know, I feel affordable towards the team because
he was falling back.
He was, you know. I'm not saying you got to be like every, you know, got to be like, everybody do their little swerve thing, you know what I mean? But he was like, at some point, like, he just got lazy.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I think that's an attribute that could fall for a lot of the Knicks.
Hold on.
Utah Jazz, number 14 pick could be Utah Jazz. And they got representing them was like, damn. This is the NBA draft lottery right now, y'all. 14th pick is Utah Jazz. The 13th pick is the Dallas Mavericks. He looking at mad. He mad. They already know the order. This is going to be the last five. They know the order already. They did this already. That's why be bugging me out. Why did they show this on TV? For dramatic effect?
Uh-huh.
Because they know the order already. This is just for TV right here. All this is for TV. They already know who's 14. They already know all the way up to the 5th pick. That's when it's dramatic. These dudes are just acting right now. Look at that. Watch Damian Lillard's face. Look at Damian Lillard. Like, okay, number 10, we good.
Right.
You already knew that, son. You knew what pick you was getting. That's why I don't understand why they even put this on TV. David Stern be bugging, yo. And everybody and their mother is watching this.
You know, they want to be exactly. That's the reason why.
Everybody's watching this. They're going to be saying, oh, well, so-and-so going to get this one in the draft. And so-and-so going to get that one in the draft. Uh-oh, there you go. Number 8 for you, Mr. Is that Greg Monroe?
Okay.
But then you know what? Oklahoma City, Toronto has to finish lower than third. Because if they don't, Oklahoma City gets their pick. That's the only thing that's the only thing that really, really can come off right now. The Toronto Raptors.
So who you feel is the best pick in the draft?
You can ask anybody. You ask twenty different people, you get 20 different answers. I have no idea. There's no really definitive number one pick.
The Phoenix Suns now, who they pick?
Well, this is what they're doing right now. They're just picking the draft order. They're not like really picks.
Okay,
they're just picking the order of, you know, how they're going to select them. You know? All right, so let's see. Charlotte, Cleveland. See, Detroit is 8th.
Oh, okay.
Top 3 picks is going to be out of Orlando, Washington, and I didn't see who the other one was.
Cleveland.
Was it Cleveland?
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Oh,
no, it's 2. Where's Malfo
Money?
I
didn't
hear her on tonight.
She went to go see Phil Jackson or something.
Oh, her?
Yeah. Yeah, she went to go see Phil Jackson and get some advice from him for the Lakers for next year.
You know what?
She got something to talk about for next week. You know how that goes.
You know what?
Hey, Zig, he's talking about Kia, Zig.
Who's talking about kids?
He's like, where's his buddy at? Because him and Kia always be going, you know, getting into it. And he was asking where she was.
That's what I call her.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir.
You know what sports, though?
Yeah, no doubt. And I don't know if any of you follow the WNBA. The WNBA season is getting ready to tip off, man.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Because you know I wanted to talk to you about the fight. I was calling about hold that thought, Mike.
Hold that thought, Mike. We're going to get into that. You got anything you want to say about the WNBA?
No, I don't.
Okay. No, I don't.
He said, no, I don't.
Sorry, I don't. It's all good. So, Mike, yeah, what you want to get into in the fight, my dude?
The fight. I just knew Mayweather was going to knock this dude out.
Oh, you're talking about the Guerrero fight. Yeah. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. He was just another dude that was in there to get a payday.
You think he's going to succeed in his next fight? Oh, he looked good.
I don't know who he's lining up. I don't know who he's got lined up. He said he was going to take some time off and, you know, and relax or whatever, and then get back at it. I hope now, you know, that maybe, you know, he could get it in with Canelo Alvarez. You know, it seems like he's the next, you know, the next dude up, the next obvious choice, because who else is it? Is he going to fight Adrian Broner? I don't think so. Is he going to fight any of those other cats at 147? I don't think so. So, like you said, it's all about a payday for him. So he's got 5 fights left. So he got to maximize the most loot out of these 5 fights before he calls an end to his career. So, you know, I would hope that there's a Manny Pacquiao fight in there somewhere.
You don't think about Pacquiao losing? Lost a little bit of luster to the fight?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's like an afterthought now.
Yeah, and another thing, I think that, you know, Pacquiao is not in the position of power. You know, Mayweather is still in the position of power because, first of all, he's still undefeated.
I don't understand why he would made him fight old boy anyway when he beat him twice already. What was his purpose? He had everything
because
to
lose. Because he couldn't get the fight that he wanted.
But the big picture, he had nothing to gain and everything to lose.
Yeah.
He had nothing to gain by fighting him again.
And really, again, you know, I don't see that much that he had to lose because, you know, a fifth fight will be another pay-per-view, you know, fight, and it's going to sell out, and, you know, people want to see that. They want to see Pacquiao and Marquez go at it again.
You got your diehard boxing fan, but Mayweather, his fight's boring to me. It's like he's boxing. I mean, not boxing, dancing. It's just like his glorified dance contest.
What? The number one pick was the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cleveland Cavaliers. Wow.
Okay, so they're going to get Nerlens Noel or Ben McFarlane to go with Kyrie Irving?
Okay
guy, so...
You know I don't know much, man, but who is this little guy down here, man?
That's the owner's son. That's
okay.
The owner's son, Dan Gilbert.
I thought you were going to say Richie Rich or somebody.
That's the owner's Dan Gilbert was talking. Yeah, that's the owner right there that was talking junk about LeBron when LeBron left. That's Dan Gilbert. So the Cleveland Cavaliers got the number one pick. So
about bringing the Pistons downtown. He got his hand in on everything.
Who that?
Dan Gilbert.
And talk about bringing Detroit Pistons downtown.
Yeah, because you know he owns half the real estate downtown now.
Okay.
He owns majority of the buildings, and he talking about. And I don't know how that's working out. He's the owner of Cleveland, but and still at the same time he can move another franchise.
I don't know how that works. I think, like you said he owns the land or something, so he has something. But I don't think that's a conflict of interest right there from the door.
I don't see how this working out. I mean,
yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, do you think now, we look at this breaking news right now, Cleveland Cavaliers got the number one overall pick in the 2013 NBA draft. Do you think this, you know, them having the number one pick will work out for them? Do you think they could flip it for, you know, some more players? Or you think they're going to keep this pick and take Nerlens Noel or Ben McFarlane or whatever? If I was them, I'd flip that pick.
Before they make it, but if they don't want another LeBron on their hands, the first thing they need to do is talk to Kyrie.
What is out there? Nothing out there to say, okay, well, you know, we got to keep this number one pick because we all pick, Trey Burke. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing, there's nobody out there that screams, I'm a number one pick and I'm better than everybody and you need to pick me on your team. There's nobody out there that screams that. So why would they take that number one pick and flip it for somebody that can help you right now? Because if you take Nerlens Noel, like you said, he's 206 pounds. He got to eat some hamburgers and some cheeseburgers and all of that, get some bulk on his body, but then they'll have Noel, Berejo, you know what I'm saying? He'll be back, and Berejo will be back. Kyrie Irving. That's still not telling me nothing. Is that going to get you better? Is that going to get you out of the lottery next year? The draft, Nerlens Noel? That's the stuff you got to consider and you got to think about.
Man, he's not coming back until Christmas.
See, there you go. So now if you take him, you've taken the number one pick and he won't be ready until Christmas.
Damaged goods.
So there you go. So what are you doing? So that's why I said if I was Cleveland got the number one pick in the NBA draft. The NBA draft is June 27th at the Barclays Center. After further review, we'll be in the building. Hollering! But, yeah, so, again, man, if you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they got a lot of thinking to do, man. I don't think it's an easy choice. I think they should just take that pick and get what they can get for it. You know? Because, like, we already discussed it, it's not really that. What are you losing by flipping that pick? You already got a point guard, so it's not like you're going to draft, take a point guard. You know what I mean? You got a point guard that's going to run your backcourt for the next 10, 15 years. So you're good in that regard. So what do you do with the pick? Are you going to take Tyler Zeller? You know? You going to take Oladipo? What you going to do? You going to draft small or you going to go big?
Tyler Zeller already played. You talking about his brother.
His brother. I'm sorry, my mistake. But yeah, man, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that will be interesting. They did take Zeller. Both his two brothers on
that's
one
Kobe,
team.
That's Kobe Zeller, right?
Right.
Yeah, my bad. But yeah, man. So I mean, what do you do with that? Do you keep it and lock it down? Do you turn? I know you don't think anybody's going to come at them with an offer to say, look, I can give you X, Y, and Z for that number one pick. I'd be like, all right, you give me somebody I can use. You give me two people I can use and a pick, then maybe we can work something out. We got somebody on the line. I have no idea who it is, but it's all good. Welcome to the bigger show. What's up? Hello.
Hi, this is Kia.
What's going on? Welcome to the bigger show. What's up?
Nothing.
So I don't know if you heard, Cleveland Cavaliers got the number one pick in the lottery. Not that it means a whole lot at this point. And we was discussing what the Cavaliers might want to do with that pick. Would they keep it or would they flip it? Meaning that there's nobody really in the draft that screams, you know, pick. I'm a, you know, number one over everybody else. So that's what we was discussing. We already put the dirt on the Knicks for the year and all that. So you think they're going to keep the pick? And what are they going to do with it? Who they going to take?
It's a poor draft selection, but they'll pick somebody out there at the top five. They got Otto Porter in there. They got McCall in there. They'll pick somebody. They're going to keep that pick.
But who are they going to pick? But who? And I'm saying, the reason why I ask that, who in this draft that's really like heads and tails above everybody else?
Nobody. It's a poor draft pick. That's what I said. It's a poor draft pick. They will pick. They got a selection. Maybe they can pick Otto Porter. Maybe they can go with from Indiana. You know,
Oladipo,
it depends.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a poor draft pick. So they'll just.
So you wouldn't be. You don't think you'd be better, or even if somebody came at you with an offer and said, "We'll give you X, Y, and Z for that number one pick."
Nobody's coming with them at an offer.
Huh?
No one's coming with them at an offer. No one.
How do you know that? This is the thing that be bugging
because
me out. How do you?
Draft
you know what I'm saying? This is what be bugging me out, right? You know what I'm saying?
They'll take their chances deep in the pick. This is a poor draft pick. These guys coming out, they're not
exactly.
Draft
that's
players.
Why you would. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. Not by no stretch of imagination. I'm just saying, what if they could turn that number one pick into two or three people and a pick later on down the line that they could, you know, get better right now instead of having to wait. Say for example, they take Nerlens Noel. They go have to wait for Christmas for him to play his first game, and they go have to put some weight on him. So it's like, you know, that's a headache on top of a headache. Like you said, the number one pick is it really a number one pick this year? So
no,
I would take that and flip it for something else if I can get it.
No.
If I can get it.
Then no other team is going to gamble. No team is going to gamble. They're going to pick. They're picking the number one pick. And it may not be Noel.
Yeah, it may not be Noel. It might be Ben McLemore.
Maybe Otto Porter Jr. Maybe something that they want.
You know what I'm saying? So now that you see what the draft order is going to be, and I heard somebody say it earlier, maybe about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, something about Shabazz Muhammad supposed to be going number 7 in the NBA draft.
I heard McCollum's going 7.
Who got the 7th pick of the draft?
I don't know. Out of St. Mary's,
so that,
I heard
yeah,
he's
so
going
that,
number
that,
7.
That, all of that factors into it. That's why I really didn't really get into that conversation.
That draft order is bad.
Huh?
That draft order is bad. It's not going to go like that.
The draft order is bad? What do you mean the draft order is bad?
Because they got Otto Porter Jr. going at number 3. He may go at number 2. He may go at number 1.
He may go at number 5 or number 6. You know what I'm saying?
And he may go at number 1 and number 2.
Cavaliers got the first pick. Orlando got the second pick. Then Washington. Then Charlotte. Then Phoenix. So that's your first 5 teams right there. Cleveland, Orlando, Washington, Charlotte, and Phoenix Suns. So you take your 5 out of those 5 teams right there. You look at their depth chart and what they need, and then you go. Now you can pick what you want. Pick what you want out of the Trey Burks and the Oladipos and the Zellers.
Hey,
and the Carter Williams.
I got a conspiracy theory here. You think David Stearns is actually the NBA, the networks, however you want to put it, or the powers to be, that since LeBron went to South Beach, that they making up to Cleveland for LeBron leaving?
Well,
they are not making up.
Well, what if New Orleans would have won the draft? What if New Orleans Pelicans would have won the draft lottery?
Charlotte would have won the draft lottery.
You know what I mean? So yeah,
LeBron left. Everybody made a fuss about it. Everybody, you know, threw their hands up in the air and whatever, right
mm-hmm.
or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But now
right.
the NBA is doing a makeup call. Okay, David Stearns got behind closed doors with whoever and Dan Gilbert and said, okay, if you bite the bullet, swallow this, I'll make up for it.
Now that you said it like that, with this, I'm gonna say bad. I'll just say, lower than usually expected draft. Then hey, you know why not? Give it to Dan Gilbert. See what he's gonna do with it. Now he got it. Now what he gonna do with it?
Well, I mean, because this is their second number one pick in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yep, they had Kyrie Irving. That's right. That's true. And again, like you said, it could have been a conspiracy theory if New Orleans would have won. It could have been a conspiracy theory if Charlotte would have won. So, David Stearns on his last leg, man. He's out of here February 14th. You know, he's going to do whatever he's going to do. You know what I mean? And that's that. You know, he's done a lot for the league. He got the league as far as exposure and things of that nature, becoming the NBA a real, real, real brand.
But he,
you know what I mean? But a lot of other stuff that he did, too, that could kind of like...
He brought too many teams in the league, though.
Yeah, oversaturated.
Definitely,
the NBA is definitely oversaturated. And then this other garbage that's bugging me out now with... You know, this team used to be that team. Now it's that team again, and now they changed back to that other team. And I don't get it. Now the Charlotte Bobcats, who used to be the Charlotte Hornets, are the Charlotte Hornets again, and the New Orleans Hornets, who used to be the New Orleans Jazz, now they're the New Orleans Pelicans, and everybody's all over the place.
And now that the Charlotte Bobcats changing their name back, they changed their name back to the Charlotte Hornets. They got to pay $3 million just to start selling their merchandise again.
Yo, the jersey manufacturers are going to be they chilling right now. The throwback jerseys. How's the Anthony Davis jersey a throwback already? He played how many games? And Anthony Davis got a throwback jersey already?
Yeah.
That New Orleans Hornets jersey, that's going to be New Orleans Pelicans next season. So that New Orleans Hornets jersey he had on this year is a throwback.
I played for the Pelicans. Wow.
I played for the Pelicans, yeah, man. The Pelicans. Those bad Pelicans. Yeah, man, I played for the New Orleans Pelicans. But, yeah, man.
So what's the reason for all the teams, though? What's the reason for it? You know, what they keep changing
to
the
expand,
game?
You know, to expand the league, to, you know, to put the, you know, to put teams in cities, you know, that, you know.
They don't deserve it. I don't understand this. Toronto's supposed to have
one. You got the Memphis Grizzlies in the Western Conference Finals. You know? So, hey. You know, and again, you know, he wants to say, and it beats putting an NBA team in London.
Okay, but, like, who stays in Utah?
Yeah, that's true.
But
how come Seattle don't have a team no more? I think that's one of David Stearns, you know, his legacy is a lot of good stuff, a lot of bad stuff, a lot of indifferent stuff. But one of the main things people gonna point at that he left when he came into the league, it was a team in Seattle, and when he left, it wasn't a team in Seattle. In Seattle, it should be an NBA franchise in Seattle. That's all. That's it. You know, and then to go back and forth with Sacramento, where one day, you know, Sacramento's out of it, the next day Seattle's out of it, the next day Sacramento's out of it, then they got Sacramento back, they're keeping the Kings. That's fine, well, and good. So now, what about putting an NBA team in Seattle? Why do you have an NBA team in Memphis? Why do you have an NBA team in Toronto when there's no NBA team in Seattle? But then you could turn around and ask your man, Roger Goodell, how come you got an NFL franchise in Jacksonville and there's no NFL franchise in Los Angeles? So, you know, they just, and they're making $20 million a year. Your commissioners getting paid. For what?
And one thing about being down in Florida, if you ain't got no good team and it's hot out, there's too much stuff to do. Too much other things to do. Jacksonville, you'll never sell out.
Yeah. So I don't, you know. Then they probably, you know, then you know, it's again, it's about money. We know at the end of the day, it's about money. So if you build a new stadium, we'll throw you a team, and then we'll throw you the Super Bowl or the All Star game or whatever, whatever, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's why you got all these people, these places that, like you said, they don't really deserve teams. But hey, Oklahoma City got their team on the strength of when New Orleans, the Hornets, was going through that situation with Katrina. Where was Davis? Davis, hey, he needs a place to put this team. Oklahoma City was like, you know, we'll support a team. Okay, really? Okay, we're going to try this out. They was down there for a season, did what they had to do. Did what they had to do again, and boom, now they got a franchise.
Wow. Oklahoma.
Boom. Well, you know, you support, if you show that you can support a franchise, hey, we'll build you a stadium, arena, and there you go.
But why? But my thing is, why even expand? Why? Because half these players, if it wasn't for expansion, they wouldn't even be in the league.
Then, you know, I you know, what teams you gonna contract? What teams you gonna get rid of?
Hey,
see, now you gotta figure out what team you gonna get, you know,
Orleans,
how you gonna break it down.
Orleans,
and get rid of two teams. To make
New
it
Orleans,
even.
The Charlottes of the world, the New Orleans
okay.
of the world, the Torontos of the world.
Mm.
At least three or four.
Kia, who would you get rid of? You got to get rid of two teams.
Give it the last two teams that came in the league, then.
That's too easy. You just going to get rid of the last two teams that came in the league.
Well, it's not like they're going to make
no
history.
The last two teams. Last one came in, last one got to go.
So you think they'll take the team out of Toronto? They already moved it. They already took a team out of Vancouver. They gotta have one team in Canada. That's one of David Stern's edicts. They gotta have one team in Canada. What are they gonna take both of them out? So you can't take Toronto.
But by him getting all these overseas players from overseas, that was another good thing. It's not like he had to go to Toronto. He made the NBA marketable and worldwide. By all these Europeans being in the league now, that's
right.
One good thing that you can't say that he done. I mean, so he had to go prove a point and, you know, water down the league even more by putting the team up north.
They had a team in Toronto and Vancouver. The Grizzlies was in Vancouver.
And who?
You know?
What do you do in Vancouver at night? Not go see no basketball game.
No. After the Canucks season, what is a Canuck anyway? But after the Canuck season is over, there's nothing to do. Remember, Big Country, Brian Reeves,
yes.
Vancouver Grizzlies
Oklahoma
in the
State.
Building.
Oklahoma State.
Big Country in the building, Oklahoma State. Shout out. Oh yeah, shout out to the to the people of Oklahoma, man. It's going through it right now, man. Shout out to them. I got some people down there, man. Shout out to Kid Crash and Sherry and all of them, man. Shout out to everybody down there, because I know they're going through it right now, man. So we're definitely thinking about y'all, man. And you know, that's all we can do right now is put one up in the air for you, man, and hope that everything is everything. But yeah, you know, David Stern is, you know, he knows how to pull a fast one, my dude. He knows how to do it, and can't nobody tell him nothing. This is his league. It's his baby. And he watched it grow, and he's going to do what he needs to do until February 14th, and that's what it is. He's the HJ in charge, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man, so Memphis and San Antonio just tipped off. Parker gets the rebound, pushes it up court. Sakia, what's good? How was your day today?
Well, it was long. I went to go see Phil Jackson. That was a plus.
Did he give you any advice? Did the Zen master give you any advice, like any chants or any yoga?
No, he just answered a couple of
meditation.
He just asked him a couple of questions. I asked him, you know, questions that I wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I asked him, you know, because he had a ring on his finger. I asked him what ring this was that he wears mostly.
Okay.
And it's the Jordan, the first one with the
okay.
91. First ring with Jordan, mm-hmm. right? So I asked, was it worth coaching? He said yes. And I asked
and you asked him, was it worth it coaching Kobe?
Was it like he said absolutely.
Oh, he gave you a hard yes, like, yeah, like, no doubt, right, okay.
Yeah, he said no. He said, of course.
Okay.
I enjoyed coaching Kobe. Mm-hmm. Asked him about possibility of coming back to L.A. He smiled. I said, so that must be, if you're smiling, that must be maybe a possibility where I can coach Kobe again to get number six for him. And he said, and that's when he said, I could take like a fan. That's absolutely right. And that was it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're of a safe distance away from him right now. But I think, you know, if he comes back to L.A., I think he might be going across the hall.
He ain't going across the hall. Somebody asked him that question, too. Somebody asked him that question.
I thought you were going to say, are you kidding me?
Yeah, he said no. He said,
That's what I said. I thought he might go across the hall.
That was the question before the guy in front asked that question.
Uh-huh.
He said it was about the piston thing. He asked about you turned out, you know, the Nets. He said the Clippers, and he should know. So I know when he said that, I was like, he ain't coaching the Clippers.
But do you think he's coming with anybody? Do you think he's coming back to coach, period, with anybody, regardless, whether it be at the Lakers, be it whoever? You think he's coming back to coach?
Yeah, if he do, it's going to be into a team.
That's already going to be built.
At the door.
But do you think, but I'm just saying, in general, do you think he's coming back to coach, yes or no?
But then he won't play.
I think he will.
Okay.
But then he also said if he come back, he's not going to, there's a lot of road games he's not going to be going to.
Yeah, so who's going to turn up for that? Your coach is going to be there for half the season.
That's the reason why the Lakers that situation, because of his hip, because his surgery and the long on his leg. That's the reason, the whole problem. So, yeah,
okay,
so
he's over with that now? So he'd be able to go. I don't know.
We won't know until he make that decision. We won't know until Phil, he's about to get married, I think. I don't know. So whatever.
And that's another thing. If he's going to go coach the Clippers, and his wife is, like, part owner of
the Lakers?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
People say that. I look at them like they stupid. Yeah. So I don't know.
The Spurs are up 6-0 over the Memphis Grizzlies early.
That'll be an interesting household.
Yeah, man. What? They going to need Chris and Cliff Paul. But, yeah, man. I just think.
He's done there.
Is there going to be a lot of nights in L.A.?
There's going to be a lot of nights on the couch.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of nights
and
in the garage.
Chris Paul is done in L.A.
Where do you think Chris Paul is going to go? Probably get back. He's going to probably go to the Lakers. You think he's going to end up with the Lakers?
No, people saying the guys that's outside in line, they thinking he might come to the Knicks.
That's where he always said he wanted to come to the Knicks.
We don't have the money for these guys.
He would have been here already.
The way they broke it down, I believe that's a possibility he can come.
Well, how did they break it down?
Two guys, they found about freeing up a lot of that money by, you know, Cam. They were naming a lot of guys. Cam, it was just so many guys talking. Guys talking behind me about the Rangers game, about tonight's game, because they was going to that game. Was guys talking about Miguel Cabrera. So it was a lot of guys in the conversation, like a lot of conversation while we was in line. And they were talking about how getting rid of Chandler, getting rid of JR, they were just naming names. I'm like, ooh, welcome. And I said, they got to get rid of them,
which means that they just definitely aren't going to leave them hanging. They got
to
get rid of them and somebody else sign them, or they do a trade. They're stuck with a lot of these contracts. I'm just saying.
They can trade JR.
If they find a taker for JR,
somebody
bless America.
He's good at doing one thing, and that's shoot. That's it.
If they find a taker, somebody to take JR Smith off of our hands, God bless America. God bless him, and he deserves whatever he gets.
They said JR would be tradable. They said Chance can go. They said keep that guy with the braids in his hair.
Hopefully.
Keep him. Keep Melo. And with one more person, so everybody else got to go.
So you said Tyson Chandler.
Copeland Shepherd and Carmelo. Tyson Chandler for next year.
They owe Tyson Chandler for next year $14 million. $596,000. Who's going to pick that up? They got to get Marcus Camby $4 million. Steve Novak $3 million. Felton $3.7 million. Take the kids,
you know,
$3 million.
The big problem is with the Knicks problem. That's their problem that they get themselves into. Cause they, like the guy was saying, they never learned from the Allen Houston fract. They never learned from other contracts that got bust and left with. That's exactly why they never grew.
The people that they don't owe no money going into next year is gonna be like Balkman, Kurt Thomas, Rashid, Kenyon Martin. Everybody else is James White, Pablo Prigioni,
Rashid
and Copeland.
Rashid retired during the season. So Rashid retired during the season. So he's not owed nothing. He retired. He officially retired during the early part of, before the playoff season started.
So what is that? They save $854,000 because Rashid Rhymes retired?
What did he
do in the first place? He said that they should have kept that money.
I don't even know why.
We tied up with a bunch of these dudes to next season and the season after next.
We tied into
Novak and Raymond Felton through 2015.
That's the guy.
We tied up into them dudes. So where's this money coming from to sign Chris Paul?
I just told you what they need to do makes sense because they need to get rid of Chandler. They need to get rid of these guys.
My question is, how are they going to get rid of them? They're just going to cut them loose?
You know how they're going to get rid of them? A good GM going to get rid of them. That's what's going to happen. A good GM will get rid of it.
The GM that we got right now got us into this problem.
Then that's the next problem why they haven't been there since 96 until this year. So that's the Knicks' fault.
That's what it is. But that's still my team, though. We stuck with all these contracts,
and
we can't move them. Got to get this dude $21 million.
We gave
him Amari Stoudemire $19 million this year. We got to give him $21 million next year and $23 million the year after that. That's just Amari Stoudemire. Carmelo, we gave him $20 million this year.
$22 million. Amari, you ain't getting rid of that contract because you're not gonna get rid of him because he's not gonna be able to go. Nobody's gonna want to touch him just yet.
Nobody gonna want to touch nobody on this roster. Who wants this roster? That's why I said at the beginning. We stuck with the Cambys of the world. And then
there won't be no championship coming to the Knicks, man.
Well, that's what I said earlier on in the show, that it's going to get worse for the Knicks before it gets better. And so we already understand
that.
And all the people that fell for the okie doke of 7-0 and 19-5 and all that good stuff, that's them. So now where are they going
to
be at when we stuck with these cats for the next 3 years? Everybody was planning on their championship parades and their parties without knowing what they're talking about. That's it. And we had an old team.
Well, that's the Knicks' problem.
Yeah, it is the Knicks' problem. And it's going to be a hard problem to deal with. And that's, we're just trying to feel out the reality of the situation. That's all. So,
the reality of the situation is they need a GM to get rid of the situation.
You sound like Stephen A. Smith this morning. You sound like Stephen A. Smith yesterday when he said he died and came back.
Yeah, man. It's just crazy right now. But you know what? That's my team. And James Dolan don't know what he's doing. He don't know how to spend no money. He just got the money, you know what I mean, running Cablevision in the ground, running MSG in the ground, and got all this stolen money at people. You want to play? You fill a uniform? Come on and play. So it is what it is. We stuck with that, but that's what it is right now. But what's going on with your Yankees there, Kia?
They're playing now. The Yankees are doing what everybody least expected them to do. They keep doing what everybody least expected to do. They win. Even when I watched that game with CeCe, he was crushed up. Two games CeCe didn't lose, but you know, didn't get the decision.
Mm-hmm.
His last two starts, he got hit hard. 10 runs on yesterday. That's not the CeCe that I know, that I've seen. I've seen him a little bit, but the last two times he was up, he did no decision because, they kept him close. But then the ninth inning came, and just like the Yankees just find their bats for some reason, these guys just find a way to win.
Yeah.
What they need to do, and that home run in the ninth, and then, then the go-ahead run, once they said the go-ahead run mapped up, so you know he was up. And once they got the cure for the and then Mario came in, it was over, 6-4.
And it's tied up right now. They're playing the Orioles. It's tied up right now. It's 2-2 in the bottom of the eighth. But Yeah, man, I just think that, you know, again, you know, we at the quarter pole of the season. The Yankees are doing good. I'm pleasantly surprised. And again, we'll see what it is, you know, by, you know, like, see what it is at the All-Star break. We should have
everybody,
you know,
had them
somebody
in
back.
The bottom, whatever,
I
bottom of
third.
The pack, because 90,
you know,
91 was sitting on the bench. 91 million wasn't even in the bench. And I'm sitting
what
here saying, you know, people say, well, I said 90, over about 91 million dollars not even playing.
Right.
So, and then you look, and I'm having, if you look at it saying, well, I'm having the Yankees 1-2. Well, nothing's going to be 1-2. They probably be, like, coming out 4-3-4. Tampa Bay going to be in front of them. Toronto's going to be in front of them. I'm looking at Toronto and Tampa Bay with the Yankees now. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's
I mean, Toronto, man, you know, they just, you know, they like the Red Sox from last year. You know, they just, you know, they got all these guys, and ain't nobody doing that. And then Jose Reyes is hurt. He won't be back to the All-Star break. So, you know, Toronto's an afterthought.
Toronto just beat what's the name the other night? Beat the Tampa Bay. So it's like, you know, I'm just looking, they losing, and that's good for me. But then the Yankees are doing what they need to do to hold on to these guys. Granted,
mm-hmm.
he didn't have a good his first
mm-hmm.
game. He didn't have a good game, but
mm-hmm.
but he's getting acclimated being out there. I don't like him in left. I don't like him out there. I think he should be in center field, but it's what it
Ooh.
Is. Granderson.
Yeah, Granderson. Yeah,
Gardner is playing center field, you know.
Kia.
Uh-huh.
I would like to ask you a question. What was up with that, me telling my Lions fan base to get off the Steelers?
What?
When I said the Lions don't need to be sticking their chest out to the Steelers talking mess because they don't have no rings.
They don't.
She knew what I'm talking about.
You know what? I don't have no problem with the Lions. The Lions is not beating the Steelers. That's one thing. The Lions beating the Steelers. I like the Lions because I always, you know, I like certain guys. Players on certain teams. I don't like teams, but only team I like is my Steelers. But I like individual players.
I get that.
So
I understand that.
I like guys when they play, and you know, for teams. So when
I
say when the Lions, I think the Lions going to be. This conversation's got. I think the Lions is going to be decent if they do what they need to do with their picks and fairly stay healthy. The Lions can do whatever they need to do. They got the weapons to win games.
My thing
but they're
is
not coming to Pittsburgh to win.
My thing is when I told Lions fans to chill and sleep, get off your back, and I called them out, called my own team out because
mm-hmm.
I wanted to hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
You said I was you said I was not a real Lions fan. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, whoa.
Because you know why I say that to my cousins and all, because they cry about their teams or whatever. I don't care about. I want my team storm big time. I am biggest bias about when it comes to the Steelers.
You
whatsoever.
Can say that.
I don't denounce them. I don't do anything. But when I hear other teams, players, you know, fans, whatever, say, I'm like, are you kidding me? So what? They haven't won nothing, but they still your team.
You can say that. It's easy for you to say that because you're on level side of the track.
But I didn't enjoy all those six rings. I only could enjoy whatever. But the Lions fans, they have a great team. And I do see expectations this year because of their picks. A lot of people didn't think
Kia, hold on a second. We got the caller on the line. I have no idea who it is. So welcome to the bigger show. What's going on? Hello? Hello?
Wow.
Guess not. But so Kia, what you were saying?
No, I say the same thing about, like, I like certain that plays. I'm always a Vic fan. I'm going to always be a Vic fan. He plays for the Eagles. I don't like the Eagles, but I'm a Vic. Anything Michael Vick, I'm all for Michael Vick. That's it. I like certain guys on certain. I like the Lions' defense. I think the Lions did great with their pick, but they just got to learn to use their pick whatever these guys on the field. Fairly got to stay healthy, and they can come the number two out that division.
Fairly, and Dominican Sue show up, it's going to be a problem.
My point is, when I said something to the same Lions people, the same Lions fans, in which a Lions fan has said, hold on, y'all, before we even go into the yard with Pittsburgh, we need to take care of home first. You know what I'm saying? We need to get right amongst ourselves. You wouldn't be going on and saying, oh, you're not a real fan. I'm like, no, hold on. I'm trying to explain. I got 40-something years here with these cats.
You need to, regardless of who they're playing, because you know what? The Packers going to be back big time.
I understand. You got to learn from somewhere, though. You got to learn from somewhere.
I'm just saying, if my team was 0-23 or whatever, I'm still
going to
be.
I'm still going to the game.
Back to whoever trashed in my team. I'm going to be throwing it back. I'm the worst still a fan. I'm going to tell you right now. And I do
okay, but what I'm saying is, I'm a fan of real. I know when we need to be. We don't need to be sitting here barking and beating our chest, talking about we gonna do this, we gonna do that, we gonna do this.
Any fan, anytime you any players come, anybody, what's the always every objection is to get to a playoff. That's the whole goal.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. We need to get to the playoffs first.
So you know what?
We don't need to be talking about we going.
That should be the fans. Every year, and that's me. Every year as a Super fan, I got us going to Super Bowl.
You got Super Bowl rings. You can say that.
Every year, I got us going to Super Bowl.
You're good, because y'all
going. I got us coming to New York this year, next year. New York.
Y'all go to the Super Bowl every 3 years. You can say that.
We go to stick
your chest out like that and say that.
We go every other year.
You part of, you know, you're down with the Rooney family, so you can say that, you know.
So I can't wait to see different. Team looks different. Every team looks like they got a nice little lineup. It's going to be very interesting with these guys who got great defense. A lot of teams got great defense now, so it's going to be interesting how defense step up. I'm just hoping
that Josh Freeman step up. If Josh Freeman step up, then we gonna be all right. I can't stand Josh Freeman. He's my quarterback. I think Josh Freeman is garbage. Again, I say it again. He's one step above Mark Sanchez.
He's garbage.
Josh Freeman is garbage. He's a garbage quarterback. And he's playing way, way, way below his standards, yo. If Josh Freeman played halfway decent, we would be a playoff team. He just has to play halfway decent. He ain't got to be no superstar. He ain't got to put up no crazy numbers. Just do his job.
Josh Freeman's problem is he made indecisive decisions.
What did I just say? Josh Freeman's a bum. He's garbage. He's 6'5", 260, got a cannon for an arm, and can't make a decision? Come on, yo, you've been in the league too long for that. That sounds like something Mark Sanchez would say.
The thing I like about Josh is it's hard to bring him down. He don't guys bring him down, so he got to find a way to stop throwing incomplete passes, stop throwing these little short passes and not get any yardage. Then he could be fine. But when
he
got to
stop throwing interceptions. How about that? He got to stop throwing interceptions. He got to stop taking sacks. Okay? He got to stop turning the ball over. That's what garbage quarterbacks do. Garbage quarterbacks take sacks.
I got one.
They throw interceptions and make bad decisions. He needs to get out of that.
I got a garbage quarterback.
Uh-huh.
We got a garbage quarterback all day. Stafford.
Who's Stafford?
Yeah.
Hey, well.
He's not garbage.
He is garbage. You can't get none of them out of the fourth. He throw all these yards all the way to the third, but when the fourth come and when cornerbacks walk up and pressure's on, he chokes.
I used to think Stafford was kind of fragile because he was always getting his thumb hurt.
I see him every week in and week out.
Right.
The only thing Stafford got going for him is he's like a Brett Favre. And when it comes, he can make any throw from any position.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, his decision making sucks. His low par. His mechanics is low par. He throw off his back feet. He throws side arms. He don't stay in the pocket. He always pulling out. He never looks off of Calvin. He never looks off of Calvin. He see Calvin running down the field. He don't look off of him. He gonna get in there.
So he keeps his eyes locked right on him. Okay.
So you know. Did you see that? Man, Stafford is gonna kill somebody.
Stafford's problem is one thing about Stafford is in quarterbacks like Stafford and quarterback like Tampa Bay quarterback, when you got great defense to keep you in the game, you got time to like
Great defense, but you got defense that's good. Oh my goodness.
What do you mean y'all don't have no defense?
We don't. Our quarterbacks get burnt like toast. We used to
You didn't see that playoff game when they played New Orleans?
We had more 20-yard plays.
Drew Brees was tearing them up.
Yes, sir. We had more 20-yard plays against
us. I said when y'all have a great defense. And the reason why DJ got wounded.
But when is that, though?
We don't have no great defense, though.
When did they have a great defense?
Did you hear what I said? I said when y'all have a great defense.
We don't have. We never had one.
Listen to what I'm saying. When y'all have one. And that means when I say when you have one, Farley got to stay healthy. Healthy through all 16 games.
Next man up, though. This is football. This ain't
y'all don't have no next man up.
Yes, it is.
That's the same thing people say, but we lost a lot of step with Pittsburgh. We got the next man up. Our guys, even the guy that's going to replace Harrison, Harrison had back surgery. When Harrison had, what's his name? Walls played Harrison position. Walls was great in Harrison position. So it's not like we lost a step. We lost Harrison.
Again, that's talking about Pittsburgh. He's talking about his team. Your team is
You're good. You can bring Charlie back in. You can bring Charlie back in for a game or two.
Oh, please, Charlie back in. We had Charlie back.
So we knew what he was about. But what I'm saying
is, we don't want Charlie back.
Listen,
Charlie back to be gone.
You might not want him. But let me tell you something. When he came in, he ain't pretty. He's not going to throw you 300 yards a game. No, he's not going to do that. The thing is, he just don't kill us. Just don't throw three or four interceptions. You might only throw the ball 13, 14 times a game.
Manage the game. That's all we need you to do.
We need you to manage the game. That's it.
That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do.
Who asked Stafford to throw for 400 yards? Where is this? I want a Super Bowl ring. Let me say this.
You can tell me if I'm wrong. I just think that, you know, if LeSean didn't get hurt, y'all would have had some semblance of a running game. You know what I mean? If you got a semblance of a running game, and maybe you could, you know, you won't have to throw 40 or 50 times. You know what I'm saying?
So if you had no running game,
that, you know,
they're trying to establish a running game. The first couple of times, if something don't go right, he's going to start dropping back 30 or 40 times. Keeping his eyes locked on Calvin, right? I mean,
You go back to the 2010 when y'all was 10-6.
Uh-huh.
10-6 was the best, that defense, it was just like unbelievable what that defense and that secondary
did. I hear what you're saying. You're right on to some degree. But again, like that season a couple years ago when they was 10-6, right? That playoff game when they played New Orleans, Let me finish. Every time Matthew Stafford made a big play, because Matthew Stafford had his plays, too. He had a good game that game against New Orleans.
He did.
But New Orleans kept coming back. Drew Brees kept going deep with that secondary. That secondary was getting chewed up.
They was getting chewed up. That would burn them.
But I say with the Lions, you got that dude. What's that dude? What's that linebacker name you got, Ziggy? Steven Tullett or whatever? Tullett?
Yeah, Tullett.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's not a slouch. You know, and your defensive line, when that defensive line wakes up, like you said, Kia, when they get it together, it's going to be a problem.
That's my thing, and then we ain't going to be able to put on Ziggy.
Ziggy going to be running up and down the street talking about we going to the Super Bowl. But yeah.
Hey, I wish, but let me tell you something.
Let me tell you right now. I do see the Lions defense as being could be a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
They stay healthy because that 2010 wasn't just not too far. When they were under
years ago. Yeah.
They were unbelievable.
Yeah.
But they got, like you said, they got burnt in the playoffs with Breeze. Breeze is no problem.
Breeze was tearing them up.
I watched the Lions game. I've been through several other games, and if they don't, and then most of the game, I watch every game with my eyes every week.
Right.
All right. We'll start off. We are undisciplined. First of all, we'll get dead ball fouls. We'll get penalties before the play call. Sewer jump offside. Barely a jump offside, and then Sewer jump offside. We got 15 yards already against us.
Right.
You know, they marching up. We are not that good like that we could just give teams the luxury of walking up and down
extra
the field
downs,
without
right.
running, without snapping the ball.
And
it's not good, you know. And then all of a sudden, then here you go. Then all of a sudden, we look up. We down 14-0. Down 14-3. Down 21-3. Got to make a comeback. You know what I'm saying? Got to make a comeback. That leaves the running game. You're down 18 points. You're not going to run the ball.
So you're not going to run the ball, right.
So that's it. So that
Well, that problem when you get rid of that guard or that tackle who – because the same thing – what else? I agree because Willie Colon, the number one offside, the number one thought we have is Willie Colon. He's with the Jets now. You know, you tweak some of that stuff out, you whatever, and you know, on the Steelers thing, all over the website page about the defense being a little sour right now because they're a little bitter. They should be bitter. They should be bitter because they didn't even make the postseason. And they talking about, you know, stuff that caused games that we should have won games by three. Every game we lost by 3 points, and one game we lost by 7 points. That makes no sense.
But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, when you walk into your Hall of Fame, you got 6 Lombardi trophies standing there.
Yeah.
And
it's just a fact. That's all I see. I'm just saying.
Well, I expect us to.
I'm just saying.
Every
I don't know
year,
what else you want me to say.
Super
you know. I mean, hey, 6 Lombardi trophies. You lead the NFL and you lead the NFL in Lombardi trophies. We won the 14s now. Now this is not the NBA where it's like a select few 6-7 teams is going to the repeat same teams is going to the finals. Everybody's getting a piece of the pie except for us. Everybody,
yeah, that's true.
Tampa Bay getting a piece of the pie.
Well, there's going to be a whole bunch.
Yeah, I got my ring 10 years ago. It's time for another one.
Look
at St. Louis. St. Louis got a piece of the pie.
Baltimore got two.
Yeah, and by the time anybody realized what St. Louis was about, they were 7-0.
Yep.
They 7-0 and they.
Well, you know
what? One of them Super Bowl rings
belong to us. One of them Super and I'm gonna say this with I think I'm not saying they're sour grapes. I'm saying it because it's the truth. They jerked us out of that NFC Championship game when Kurt Warner and them boys was playing my Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They established a new rule because of that game, the Burt Emanuel rule. I don't know where they got that from, but that's okay. It's life, man. It happens.
Fact,
you know what I'm saying?
Our defense was the only defense that year that shut them down like that.
That shut them down. It was the greatest show on turf, and it was 6-5 in the fourth quarter. I was screaming at my TV, yo. I was screaming. I was like, yeah, we're going to do this. It was 6-5 in the fourth quarter in St. Louis, NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And Kurt Warner hit Ricky Pohl with that bomb, and that was it. I was like, oh, man, they jerked us on that Burt Emanuel play, yo. He caught that ball. And I'm still heated behind that. You can't you tell? I'm still heated behind that, yo. But it's all good, though. Everybody has a birthday, man.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying? But
I
that was my Super Bowl ring right there. Warner got, and the Reverend Ike, Isaac Bruce and all that, and Marshall Faulk, that's my Super Bowl ring. But it's all good. I'm not going to cry.
Yeah, that's right around the time when Marshall Faulk was the best thing smoking.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And not for nothing, that was a great Super Bowl, too, man. The Tennessee Titans and St. Louis Rams, that was a great Super Bowl. Even though Tennessee didn't show up to the second half.
You said it was a bad
Eddie George and them, and they didn't start running the ball to the second half. I'm like, why is Steve McNair not running the ball? God bless the dead. Why is Steve McNair not running the ball? What's the matter?
That Super Bowl will always be reminded when you're a Titans fans how close and short you was to get to that end zone. That didn't no sense.
But then, you know what? And that touchdown, a lot of other things, that touchdown wouldn't have won the game. It would have just tied the game up.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you know, I got you.
Yeah, I got
the replay.
You. That's, oh, man.
Man, that's a hurtful feeling. That's
because the game was like, oh, he was like, what? It's sure. Oh, man.
That's a fan. If you're a fan of the Titans, that game will always be reminded of you.
Yeah,
that one
yeah.
That's sure that game.
Oh, damn.
I do.
Because that's the same thing with, I know Dolphins fans.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people I know that's, you know, that's Dolphins fan, that's friends of
right.
My older brothers, they still bitter about them winning and couldn't win nothing.
What
a lot
do you
of
mean?
Teams, a lot of guys that's, you know, older than they remember the Super Bowls. I remember the Super Bowls, but they talk about it like that was always going to always bother them how they had a perfect season. It's Super Bowl, they ain't win nothing, come away with nothing. Bills fans.
Go back to Miami. What year was this talking about they went and they didn't win nothing?
No, I'm talking just winning and don't come away with nothing. Marino.
He only went one time, so, you know, that's all they got to talk
winning.
About. He only went
I'm
one
saying
time.
Winning. No, winning and never away with nothing.
Yeah.
No,
he
I'm
got all the numbers in the world,
said.
But nothing to show for it.
Right,
know,
that's
but,
what the Dolphins fan said. When you go and you don't you come away with absolutely nothing.
Only quarterback I know that had no legs at all, couldn't do nothing at all. But he'll sit there and he'll work the hell out that damn pocket.
Yeah, he'll put that ball in the needle hole, my dude. Dan Marino.
No legs, can barely walk.
Wear the hell out of some gloves, though. But I'm just saying. But you never know what you're gonna get, man. You got to get there. You know what I mean? You can have all the talent in the world, and you know the best team in the world, and come up short. It's a lot of examples
that's
that we can give.
That's
you.
The way that's how my brother said. That's pure talent with him.
Yeah,
my
a lot of examples
pure
we
talent
can give
with
you.
Him.
Look at 84 Georgetown. Look at them. You know what I mean? Look at the Patriots from a few years back. You know,
Rock might be there. Gronk might be in trouble, man. He didn't get cut on all off season.
Yeah.
He had an infection in that elbow. He let an infection sink in that elbow, and they had to clean the infection off. They had to go back in a time. And
that
he
was
may not
time,
be as,
though.
He may not be as healthy as they think he's going to be, and I think that's bothering with now.
Yeah.
With
you can only
with
cut on
Patriot.
Somebody so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got back problems. He's back
problems.
He's back to too much of them WWE moves.
A 24-year-old got back pain like 60-year-old.
Yeah,
that's an issue. But I know somebody was talking about the Jets situation where the Sanchez and Smith could be the one being the starting quarterback for the Jets. I said I'll wait to see that.
He might be, but he might not be. He's going to
have to learn on the job.
He's going to have to learn on the job real fast.
Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if Geno Smith beat out Mark Sanchez. Look at it like this, though, Kia. Look at it like this. If Mark Sanchez beats out Geno Smith, like, decisively, like, what does that say about Geno Smith? I think
what
they drafted
that says about,
Geno
what
Smith
what that says about
to beat Mark
both.
Sanchez out at quarter to be the quarterback.
If they do beat both of them heads and be doing both of them be doing well, who do Rex pick?
Rex need to put some weapons around Mark Sanchez. I'm not grinding. I know Mark Sanchez ain't the greatest in the world, and he does some dumb stuff at times. But he don't have nobody really on offense. He don't have nobody to give it to.
Yeah, and his tight end left to go to Miami. Dustin Keller left. You know, so, I mean, you know, what other weapons is he going to have
that's
at his disposal?
That's the team I can't wait to see play. I cannot wait to see that Miami team play this year.
I
want to
see
Kansas
City.
Oh, you want to see your boy in the Dolphin uniform?
Yeah, I want to see what he's talking about.
You want
to
see Mike
Wallace. All that mouth he's talking about, he wanted Larry Fitzgerald's money and Megatron's money. How he gonna get Megatron money? He's not Larry John. He's not Larry Fitzgerald.
How he gonna have Larry Fitzgerald money when he can't hold on to the bag?
Can't hold on to the ball, but that's what
he
wanted. It's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And the Steelers are not giving up that kind of money.
He had an extra element to that offense, though. The Pittsburgh offense.
He didn't do as much stuff. He had fast under Brown did a lot of stuff. Brown did every time you talk, in 2010. Brown, you know, Brown did a lot of stuff to keep us in that playoff the game against the Ratbirds and stuff like that. I mean, you know, come on, last year Wallace had open passes. Open pass Wallace had he dropped. every single pass Wallace came, spin through the Wallace, dropped. And every time we was counting, we were just, my brothers, they were just talking about that. They my brother, because my brothers, because he could, you could count all the money that he wanted, all that money he wanted last year, and all the money he dropped, balls dropped, he shouldn't get nothing.
Right.
We wasn't bitter about Wallace leaving, you know, him taking
right.
the world. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Well, he wasn't.
NFL.
We're Pittsburgh is never known paying big money to ride
right.
receivers.
Right. That's,
and
that's
we have won
Super
Bowls
thing.
With that name, so we're not worried about that. That won't help
thing.
Hurt.
Yeah, they stay hard to their guns, man. It's not like you're not gonna bend them. They're not going.
You're not. The
their
Rudy's
way,
gonna be
is their way or the highway. So that there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, they're not doing that stuff. They're not worried about that. So you got to trust judgment about the call. When they let Wallace go, it must was a better judgment call. So, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, yeah. Speaking back to that Gronk injury.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the last time when he did get injured with his forearm? Was that when
it was at the Colts? It was at the Colts game.
No, it was a good. Well, they were up 49.
It was a game.
They were up like 49-24, and Belichick trying to be an experiment, the mad scientist, put him in the shotgun and made him did it. So they did the 2-point conversion, and that's how he got hurt off the 2-point conversion.
That's the Colts game.
He ain't been right.
That
since.
Was the Colts game. Yep, that was the Colts game. That's where it all started at. And they re-injured it again in the playoffs.
Yep.
Yes, it's his arm because his leg was hurting the Super Bowl against the Giants.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
he re-ended it again, but that was against the Colts. That was
that
Colts game.
That Gronkowski is fragile, you know?
Belichick does not put him in the best positions either sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Belichick's ego getting in the way of him, you know, and, you know, at times, granted, he's a damn good-ass coach, but, you know, his ego can get the best of him, and he the type of cat is they'll be up 28-0 and he wants to prove a point. You know what I'm saying?
He
wants
to
prove
a point. He's the type of coach that will ball up. He will run that score. He's definitely gonna prove a point. He's definitely
most people do not like that.
But I heard. Say it again.
I say that most coaches do not like that.
Oh please. So Ravens coach ran the ball, ran the number. He did one of Belichick number when Ravens played. What's his name? They ran the ball up, ran the score up. So yes, Ravens coach did it, and
when the Ravens played who?
I forgot who they played when.
Okay.
When they ran the score. Up. Dude,
okay.
Look at.
I got your point.
Yeah.
But
they just ran the score up. But the same thing where they said what Belichick may look at Tebow because he may use Tebow as a fullback position. That's just what they were talking about that down in.
I mean, you know what?
Right, I don't
now,
know.
To me, Tebow, you know, whatever, man. You know what I'm saying?
Because
I'm
people,
over that. I'm over that Tim Tebow garbage.
They got people interested on in ESPN magazine I was reading because even though he says a possibility he wouldn't mind signing Tebow, everybody like, what Belichick said that the great.
If he wants to deal with that madness, then that's him.
Yeah.
If he wants to, you know what I'm saying? If he wants that circus that Tim Tebow brings,
I don't think
it's
about
W's. If it's about W's, fine. But if it's about anything else besides W's, what's the use?
I don't think it will be a circus down in the Patriots. You know what I'm saying? Patriots is totally different from the Jets. It would not be a circus there. You know what I'm saying? Two different coaches, two different systems, two different organizations. It wouldn't be a circus down in.
But
Was it
a circus in Denver? Right?
Follow me. I'm saying yes.
Okay.
But
all right.
Denver,
I'm defending.
Is Denver in the Jets and
whatever,
whoever
signs Tebow, that's what they're gonna get. If Belichick wants to sign Tebow, more power to him because he know what he's getting into.
No, I don't think.
So
I'm
you mean to tell me
nobody?
So you mean to tell me that the madness with Tebow is gonna stop once he signed with the Patriots? Come on,
I don't think it's worried about madness. I don't think it's for him that he's
it's gonna be madness.
Tebow.
It's gonna
no.
be madness. How much burn you think Tebow gonna get with the Patriots? Is Belichick going to give him that much burn?
It depends on what Belichick going to do. We don't know what Belichick doing.
You said he needs a fullback. That's what you
said.
I said
he needs a fullback.
You said he needs a fullback.
They may not even sign him, but we don't know what Belichick going to do.
But,
it was just impossible
again,
to do what they were talking about.
Again, back to my point. That has to be a consideration, though. If that wasn't a consideration,
it wouldn't be no madness down
the table,
in
Pittsburgh.
I mean,
why
down
not sign him?
In Patrick.
Take the
it would be no madness down there with that. That was a totally different coach than all these other two. From Patriots, I mean, from the Jets and Denver.
Tebow
totally
brings his own madness with him. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
No.
Tebow brings his own madness with him. So Tebow don't bring his own madness with him.
No, I don't think.
So we got to start this again. Was it madness in Denver?
What part did I not make clarity that it would not be no madness?
So why wouldn't it be a madhouse in New England? Why not?
It won't be none. I don't think it would be none.
Because of
different ownership, different franchise.
It was
every
different ownership in Denver
different.
And New York.
And
when we talk about the common denominator is Tim Tebow.
If you allow that madness,
then
you
going to
allow that madness. I don't think that's it.
It's bigger than football, yo. Anybody that signs Tim Tebow got to sign up for the madness, too.
I don't agree with that. Well,
I know you
have different opinions.
That's fine.
Yeah, at least we got different opinions, and it's good to have opinions. I don't agree with that.
It's okay. It's a lot of stuff that you don't agree with, and then you're like, whatever.
If I don't agree with it, I don't agree with it.
Like we tried to tell you last year about your Steelers. But you didn't want to like that.
One thing about me, I will never change about my Steelers.
But when somebody tries to tell you something, that's reasonable. If somebody tried to tell you something that's reasonable,
because I would never.
But you see where your Steelers ended up on the couch.
And that's the same way.
But you should listen to somebody instead of having blind faith.
I would never go against my Steelers because what the hell anybody said? I would never go against my Steelers. And I would never go against my Steelers. So what, regardless of what you keep saying,
that's your favorite trademark.
That is your favorite trademark about that 8-8 season.
Blind faith, get you put on the couch.
What you say, because I never changed my opinion about my team or who my team is. That's exactly how I am.
That's all I'm saying. I'm the same way with the Lakers.
Are you kidding me? The Steelers are going to the Super Bowl.
Thank you. So we almost out of here, man. It is what it is. So you see what it is, though, right? I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Because I don't want my TV 8-8.
Yelling and screaming is not impressing nobody. Especially when you don't know what you're talking about.
You keep bringing up an AAC season.
Because I can.
You keep.
Because you're the one that did it.
You keep bringing up an AAC season.
I tried to help you out. I tried to help you out. Yo, we out of here, man. It's the mayor, man. We'll holler at y'all next week, man. I'm out of here, yo. Check me out every day after further review. Check me out every day after further review. Check me out next week, man, next Tuesday, man. After further review, it goes down, man. I didn't want to get nobody cut off. But you know how it is, though. Respect is respect. You got your opinion. Everybody has a right to their opinion.